today as we come to the table.
And so what God wants us to learn to do is come to a place to where we're walking daily in the Spirit. Not just periodically, but on a regular basis, walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit. And God had to teach Abram and Sarah this lesson. And I'll tell you, before we learn this lesson, there's a lot of heartache it can bring. And the heartache we're going to see that comes in Abram and Sarah's life is tremendous. As a matter of fact, it not only affected them, it's still affecting us today. And it's affecting the world we live in today and the mess that's going on in the Middle East. But the bottom line is we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Now, let me say this. God will allow us to walk in the flesh if we so choose.
Being a Christian isn't a one-time commitment where we give our lives to Jesus and we're just done and get to relax. We do get to start a whole new life free from our old hurtful habits and sinful nature. But it's a daily habit where we must turn away from our old lives and choose Jesus every moment of every day. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will encourage you to seek God in your daily lives. As people, we're still going to sin and not live up to our own expectations. But God sent His Son Jesus so we don't have to. He will be your strength and your courage when you don't have any to make the best decision in your life. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to be looking at the flesh versus the spirit. Why don't we read it together, starting in verse 1. Notice it says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. And then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. And so Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Father, I thank you for a time to get into your word, a time to worship. And Lord, as we look at this valuable lesson that you taught Abram and Sarai, God, help us not to gloss over it, but to get the lesson ourselves. Lord, your word tells us that you've shown us all these things from those who have gone before us that we might learn and that we might be instructed from that. And Lord, how we need to learn the difference of walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. Lord, making decisions in the flesh and making decisions in the spirit, this is so essential for us because it brings such great consequences. Lord, either consequences of blessing when walking by the spirit or consequences of cursing and heartache if we walk by the flesh. And so, Lord, use this example to teach us. I pray you would instruct us. I pray for those this morning that maybe in the midst of a time of trying to make a decision as to what they should do in a certain situation, I pray this would be the prompting measure that would push them to seek your face, Lord, and to wait until they hear from you rather than simply moving forward in what they think is right. Lord, help us to avoid the mistakes of Abram and Sarah and help us to learn what you have for us. Teach us, God. Instruct us now by your Holy Spirit. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The flesh versus the spirit. Now, most of you have heard of walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. And a lot of you are probably wondering, well, what in the world does this mean? Let me say, first of all, there are two modes of operation for the Christian. And that is the flesh and the spirit. Now, you might think, but wait a minute. I've given my life to the Lord. I'm a Christian now. I don't live by the flesh. Well, you're not supposed to live by the flesh, and I'm not supposed to live by the flesh. But the reality is, although we are Christians, we can. And how does that happen? When we leave God out of the equation. When we're not seeking the Lord in daily life so that we can understand what it is God has for our life. You know, Jesus said this. He said, if you're going to follow me, he said, you need to take up your cross daily, follow me, and that's how you follow. That's how you walk in the Spirit. It is a daily choice. It is a daily decision to be in tune with the things of the Spirit. Now, I remember when I first came to the Lord, I didn't really understand, what do you mean live according to the flesh? I mean, like, what other choice do you have? That's what we're made of, right? So what does that mean exactly? So a definition would be this: living by the flesh is simply doing what comes natural and leaving God out of the process. Here's what I mean. If you want to live by the flesh, simply do nothing. You will, because that's what you're made of. That's who you are. We are made of flesh. We are born once in the flesh. Jesus said we have to be born a second time in the Spirit to inherit the kingdom of God. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit and in the things of the kingdom, we have to walk in the Spirit rather than the flesh. Now, I know we're in these casings. We're in these bodies, but we can choose to deny our flesh and to live according to the Spirit. And so, again, if you want to live according to the flesh, just do nothing, and that's what will happen. And if we're doing nothing and we're not seeking the Lord on a regular basis, we can be assured that at this moment, we are living in the flesh. That's the definition. So we have it identified at least. Now, what about living in the Spirit? What is that? Living in the Spirit is exactly the opposite. It's when we seek the Lord in prayer and His word in daily life and follow His lead and instruction. So the difference is we're making an effort to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to get in your word. I'm going to seek you in prayer. What do you want for my life? What do you want me to do? That's living according to the Spirit. And again, as I said, it's a daily choice that we make. Now, we've all had those days we haven't done that, haven't we? Let's just admit it. We've all had those days. We've gotten up. We've been in a hurry. Maybe we're late. We've done this. We haven't had any time in the day, whether morning or any time ever during the day, where we just set aside, got in the word, got in prayer, sought the Lord. Oh, yeah, maybe we prayed on the way to work as we dodged that guy that cut in front of us. Or maybe we, you know, prayed before the meal, Lord, bless this sandwich, you know, and this. But we didn't really spend time with the Lord. We didn't seek His direction. We didn't get in tune with His Spirit. Well, we've all had those days. What happens on those days typically? If you're like me, you can tell it's a day in the flesh. And there's a huge difference between the day, having that day in the flesh and the day in the Spirit. And the only difference is seeking the Lord, saying, God, I need to walk in your Spirit. I need you. And you just turn everything over to Him. And this is such an important lesson for us to learn. This is so key and so essential. And for some of us, it takes longer than others to grasp the difference of how our life is going to go if we walk in the Spirit as compared to how our life goes if we walk in the flesh. Now, even in the flesh, it breaks down into a greater division. There are greater levels of walking in the flesh and lesser levels. There are some people that as believers have just fallen away. They're in that backslidden state and they're simply living in the flesh. They know it. Everyone knows it. And they're out there. They need to repent and come back. But there may be some of us that think we're walking in the Spirit, but God's going to reveal to us we're not. And what do I mean by that? Well, we occasionally seek the Lord. I mean, a couple of times a week we get in the Word, and a couple of times a week we pray, and we go to church and you're regularly and all that, but we're not really living a life of the Spirit. We're living a life of the flesh with the Spirit thrown in there. And so what God wants us to learn to do is come to a place to where we're walking daily in the Spirit. Not just periodically, but on a regular basis, walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit. And God had to teach Abram and Sarah this lesson. And I'll tell you, before we learn this lesson, there's a lot of heartache it can bring. And the heartache we're going to see that comes in Abram and Sarah's life is tremendous. As a matter of fact, it not only affected them, it's still affecting us today. And it's affecting the world we live in today in the mess that's going on in the Middle East. But the bottom line is we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Now, let me say this. God will allow us to walk in the flesh if we so choose. I'm not saying God approves of sin. I'm saying if we choose not to seek the Lord and live our life, God doesn't just kill us. You know, God doesn't just intervene and say, I'm going to make you do what's right. God allows us to live in the flesh, and then He allows the consequences to come in on us. And hopefully we learn from those consequences. Now, some of you, and really probably most of us, are facing consequences from something we've done in our past life. And some of you even had the question, now, wait a minute, I've given my life to the Lord. Why do I still have consequences? Understand, you are forgiven when you come to the Lord. When you confess your sins and you repent, you are forgiven. You are clean before the throne of God. But the consequences don't always just simply go away. The consequences sometimes last even a lifetime. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It means it's a consequence. I had someone ask me, well, what do you do when you have those consequences? Are you supposed to just say, all right, I've got them and I accept them? Or can you seek the Lord to remove them? It's okay to seek the Lord to remove them. To go to the Lord and say, God, could you deliver me from these consequences? I'm just asking. I know I brought this on myself. I know I'm forgiven. I understand the principle that consequences come with sin. But Lord, could you deliver me? Or Lord, could you at least lessen them? Or Lord, if not, could you give me your grace? God will most definitely give you the grace to face the consequences. But I've seen God even lift consequences. I know that in my past, there's been some things I've done where God has absolutely removed the consequences. I deserved the consequences. He simply removed them because of his grace. But there were other things he didn't remove. You know, when I got into legal trouble, those of you that know some of my testimony, really what brought me to the Lord, it was 10 years until I could get insurance. And I remember thinking, man, 10 years till I can get insurance, that's pretty bad. But I'm single and, you know, 10 years, that won't be so bad. I'll get through that and I'll just worry about myself. I didn't realize over that 10 years I'd get married and have children. And the problem with consequences is that it doesn't just affect us. It now affects those around us and those that we love. And so Abram and Sarah now having to learn a very hard lesson that the decisions they make need to be led of the Lord. They need to be led by his spirit and not by the flesh. And that comes only through the word of God and prayer. And if we don't learn those lessons, then we're going to find ourselves in a lot of heartache. You see, God knows what's best for us and he desires to spare us the consequences of the things that we'll go through if we don't make decisions by the spirit. He can see all things that we can't. He knows what's best for us. And so again, some consequences are worse than others. And for most of us, it usually takes a few mistakes before we finally catch on. I know, again, I look back over the years and I can see many foolish decisions that I made because I didn't use God's direction. I didn't say, God, what do you want me to do in this? And let me say this, beware of this, because typically the mistakes we make when it comes to walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh are things like this. Oh, that's a no-brainer. Watch out. The no-brainers are typically the ones that sink us. Ask Joshua when he came into the promised land. Oh, God had promised, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to defeat your enemies. These are great promises of God. When he came to the Jordan River, what happened? Supernaturally, God stopped the Jordan River. Supernaturally, God dried up the bank of the river and they walked across on dry land. They came into the land strutting in. God is with us. We see his power. We have his promises. He says, walk around Jericho 7 times. Sounds a little bit like a strange battle plan, but we're in this thing. They walk around the Jericho. What happens? The walls collapse. I mean, they're on top of the world. They see God's power, they see God's promise, they see God's plan, and what happens? They don't seek God's face. And now there's a little town down the road by the name of Ai. Only a few thousand there. Joshua says, you know what? Just send a few thousand down there and just wipe them out, and then when that sun come on back, and we'll make the battle plans for the real battles. That's a small thing. That's a no-brainer. Send the guys on up there. Well, the guys go up there all right, but they come back with their tails between their legs and arrows flying over their head. Because they're defeated by Ai. Why? Now Joshua falls before the Lord, and the Lord's like, you know what? You should have done this before you went to Ai, not now. Get up. There's sin in the camp. You should have sought my face about this. There's no such thing as a no-brainer when it comes to the Christian walk. Now, let me say this. That doesn't mean that God expects us to seek him and say, Lord, which grocery store should I shop at? I need your guidance, Lord. Should it be Kroger, Food City? You know, what? You know, should I take out a loan and go to a convenience store? Lord, what should it be? What should my direction be, Lord? What color socks? What color shirt? I had a friend that used to do that. I'd say, hey, man, let's go do so-and-so. And it would be nothing. I'll give you something like, let's grab lunch. Oh, I need to pray, you know. And say, well, don't pray about lunch. Just say yes or no, you know. And it probably wasn't a lunch type issue, but it was those kind of things he would pray about, drive me crazy. So understand this. I'm not saying that everything you do, you get up in the morning and say, you know, Lord, should I brush my teeth? No, brush your teeth. Please, brush your teeth. But here's the bottom line. When it comes to decisions that affect our life and the life of our family and those around us, we need to be seeking the Lord and walking in the Spirit and not allowing just what comes natural to take over. Oh, it feels like the right decision. I think this is the thing to do. Stop. Now you're heading for a defeat at Ai. You need to seek the Lord and say, God, I've got to know what's going on here and I need your help to do this. And so we're going to see Abram and Sarai learning a lesson here that we need to learn as well. And that is this. No matter what the situation looks like and no matter what we think the right thing to do is, we have to learn to take everything to the Lord or else we're going to have great heartache and great consequences. And some of us can testify already. We know. I know I can. And so God would spare us. And so we need to learn that lesson. And God needed to teach Abram and Sarah this same lesson. Notice verse 1. Remember the setting. Before we read that, remember he had just again told Abram, I'm going to give you a child and, you know, you're going to have the land. He's made all these promises to him. And so he's heard these promises. He's excited about these promises. Even as God said, I'm going to give the children of Israel the land. And they marched in confidence. Abram is now saying, wow, I'm going to have a baby. And notice verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Now notice what happens here. This first verse is very important in understanding the whole setting of this thing. And that is, we have to remember, Sarah was barren. God has promised a baby, and now Abram shows up and says, guess what? God says we're going to have a child. Well, immediately you can imagine the desire in Sarah's heart to have a child. Listen, they both were emotionally wanting a child. In that understanding in that day, in that culture, they believed that if you didn't have a child, it was a curse. Again, that is not scriptural. That is not how God views it. But in that culture, that's how they viewed it. And now she also has this natural biological drive. Women have that drive. And so he comes home and says, guess what, honey? You can't have children, but God said we're going to have a child. I can imagine how her heart must have dropped. Are you sure you're hearing from God? I can't have a child. And then after getting over the shock of, well, maybe you are hearing from God, although I can't have a child, then now she's faced with this situation and the excitement that, what if this is God? And maybe I am going to have a child. Now, when we come to places like this and crossroads in our life, we have a decision to make. Do we wait on the Lord and trust in Him to do it His way, or do we take matters in our own hands? And this is the difference between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. And Sarai, in her excitement, said, we got to get moving. You see, rather than waiting and trusting, she began thinking and scheming. And Sarai came up with a plan. You know, hey, wait a minute. I can't have a baby. He's promised a baby. Well, what can I do to get a baby? How can I make this thing happen? And gang, note this. Whenever we start deciding what we can do to help God along in His plan, that's when we're getting into trouble. We've got to learn to sit back and say, wait a minute, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. You said you're going to do it. I'm going to trust that you're going to do it. And I'm just going to wait until you do it your way. Sarai wasn't able to wait. She began to scheme. She began to plan. And now she gets herself in a lot of trouble by not simply waiting on the Lord. Now, see, here's what Sarai didn't have. She didn't have a baby. So she couldn't work from that angle. But what Sarai did have was an Egyptian handmaid, an Egyptian servant. Now her mind begins to scheme. Why does her mind begin to scheme? Well, you got to remember, or maybe you need to know, that in this day, according to that culture, it was okay to take your servant or your handmaid as your wife. And if you couldn't have a child with your regular wife, you could have a child with your handmaiden or your servant, and that child would legally become yours. It was really the first instance of surrogate motherhood. It's like saying, you know what? We can't have a baby. Let's get her to have the baby for us. It's a little bit different in that obviously there were physical relations needed and the actual taking of a wife in that day, but it was no different in what was really happening. And it was accepted in that culture, and it was legal in that culture, but it wasn't God's plan. And since it wasn't God's plan, now we're going to see the great consequences coming in. And guys, listen, here's where we need to take note and we need to be warned. Just because it is legal in our culture or our society, just because it is accepted in our culture or our society, does not mean that it's acceptable for us before God to be involved in it. You see, our standard is different. We can't say, well, you know what? It's legal, so I can do that or whatever. No, God says, what does my word say? And we as believers have to live by a different standard. Sarah now is saying, you know what? Hey, it's accepted in the culture. It's legal. And so her mind wanting this baby so much, desiring these things so much that now God had promised, you know, all these years anticipating and now hearing that God had said that, you can imagine she's on this. Let's go. How can we make it happen? But she had to learn, no, you've got to wait on God and do it His way. And notice it mentions here that she had an Egyptian handmaid or maidservant. And she said, hey, why don't we? You know, Abram, we could. Hey, you know, I was thinking, rather than saying, wow, we need to seek the Lord. And God, what do you want us to do here? And so again, it's interesting to me, we have to remember in scripture that Egypt is what? A type of the world. And now we see her looking to her Egyptian maidservant saying, hey, you know, the world does it this way. Why don't we just take the world's path and let's have a baby? You know, I mean, God promised he was going to do this. And so let's go for it. Let's see what God will do. And so she encourages Abram. She says, hey, take Hagar as your wife. Let's have a child through her. And you know, God will do it that way. No, God didn't say he's going to do it that way. You know, God didn't tell Abram how he was going to do it. But we know from the word of God that God intended it to be through Sarah. God didn't say, and the two shall become three. God said, and the two shall become one and serve the Lord. And so they knew the word of God. They knew what had happened with Adam and Eve. They knew how God had created, that they weren't supposed to be doing this. And yet, what do? They do it anyway because it was culturally accepted. A lot of questions come up. Why do they have multiple wives then? Again, it was culturally accepted, but it was not biblically accepted. And that's where they messed up. And now he takes this other wife and they're going to, you know, help God out, if you will. And again, anytime we try to help God out, we're going to get ourselves in big trouble. God knows what he's doing. I think he's got things well under control. But our problem is we don't seem to know that. And so we try to somehow get involved in the process. Now, again, notice here at the end of the verse 1, it says, or the end of verse 2, it says, and Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Now, this was Abram's big mistake. They both made a mistake here. Sarai's big mistake was what? Sarai's big mistake was saying, hey, why don't we try to do this thing the way the world does? You take another wife, we'll have a child that way. She messed up. Abram's big mistake was letting her do it. Note this. It says, Abram heeded the voice of his wife. Now, what do I mean by that? Listen, it wasn't that he was messing up by listening to counsel from his wife. A wise husband will do that. And God has given us husbands and wives so that we can come together in our family and decide and pray and seek the Lord to decide what is the best decision for our family in this situation. The mistake was made when Abram recognized something that was wrong or should have recognized something that was wrong and didn't stop it and didn't correct it. And that responsibility falls on both of us. If the husband or the wife is heading a direction that is unbiblical, we need to speak up and let them know. And in this situation, Abram should never have gone along with this. Abram should have put his foot down and said, wait a minute, this is not right. We shouldn't do this. God had said he's going to give us a baby. And so therefore, we're not going to go. And I know that everybody's doing it. I know that it's acceptable, but we're just not going to do it. He heeded the voice of his wife. Now again, Abram wanted a child badly as well, but I think that, you know, Sarah wanted a child even more. So I'm sure she was really pushing this. You know, again, having the emotional drive, having the biological drive. And so she said, hey, we're going to do this thing. And Abram didn't make his stand and didn't stop her. And again, it's interesting to me, even with this kind of surrogate motherhood thing, even when we see that today, you know, you've seen those cases where somebody's a surrogate mother and they carry someone else's baby and this kind of, I don't know, maybe some of them come out okay, but how many times do you see it on TV where it's going to court? Where it's caused this big kerfuffle, if you will, where somebody's suing somebody and the woman's changed her mind and all these things are happening. Again, because, you know, we need to let God do things the way he's going to do. God didn't intend certain things for us to do.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.